This morning, what I want us to explore, thank you, Tammy, for doing that. We're going to talk about what it means to imitate or be individuals who are imitating the person of Christ. So a good way, if you have your sermon listening guide, a good way is to look at the root word, what it means to imitate. And you notice it says that the word imitate, it's an action verb. So an action verb, those of you who are school teachers or remember that, it means there's some activity or there's some action going on associated. So whenever you say the word imitate, there's an action or an activity that is going on. So then I want us to look at, well, let's look at the definition of what the word imitate means, and it's also in your sermon listening guide. It means to behave in a similar way to someone or something else. It means to copy the speech or the behavior of someone else. So again, there's action that's going on there. When we imitate someone, we are either consciously or unconsciously imitating someone or something. It's a process of a series of actions, a series of activities. It's those learned behaviors that are developed over time. And now listen carefully. There are good ways to imitate, and there are bad ways to imitate, right? We've seen both sides, right? So we want to be the good imitators, but we know that there are also some bad imitations that are out there. I want to give you two examples before we get started. Kids, you'll often notice how they imitate their special characters. And so I had to go look up what these characters are because they're not in my age bracket. So I've heard the Avengers, right? I guess the Avengers, there's Spider-Man, you know, they're just, you know, doing all this stuff, and there's Captain America. So what little kids are doing, they've watched stuff on TV, and they want to be like that cartoon character. So they begin to act it out at home, and they just kind of take on this additional persona and who they are trying to be like. For little girls, it's often Disney characters and little princes, and so they do that as well. And then I'm going to use myself as an example. I go to the gym. I try to as much as I can. Thank you, Michelle. So I'm going to be honest, this may come as a surprise. I'm not super athletically inclined. Just laying it out there, right? So the only way I learn in the gym is I watch these other guys, right? And I watch them on the machines, and I'm like, okay, I think I can do that. And once in a while, I will ask for help. So I imitate the actions that I see them on different machines because I want to develop my muscles. And so we all understand that we are always in the process of imitating someone or something. And so the more time that we spend with someone, the more likely you and I are going to pick up their ways. So we all know that we can pick up good ways and we can pick up some not so good ways. We've done both, right? Through our life experiences. So the point is when we imitate, what I want to say is you and I will become who we surround ourselves with. You and I will become who we surround ourselves with, and we will begin to imitate their behavior. I want to put up this next slide. I love this. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You've heard that, right? Or they say you're the chip off the old block, right? So we know what that means. It's like, man, that kid looks and acts just like his, well, you can fill it in, mother, father, right? And that's because they have spent a considerable amount of time with mom or dad, so the apple doesn't fall from the tree because they will begin to pick up the habits that mom and dad do. They'll pick up your good habits, and I got news for you, they'll pick up your bad habits, and they'll display your bad habits when you don't want them to, right? So that's just so we understand what it means when we're imitating. So scripturally speaking, Jesus had a lot to say about imitating. In fact, if you go to your number 28, it's also in your sermon listening guide. I want all of us to read this together, this verse. And this is really the anchor for the whole sermon, so you can read it in either place. So Jesus explained, read with me. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. So we can learn from this scripture. Jesus said, I don't do anything myself. I'm going to imitate what I have seen God the Father do when he was in heaven with him. So everything Jesus does, he said, I have learned that from my Father. So there's three really observations we can make from that. One, we just said Jesus only does what he saw his Father do. So it's he has deliberately been imprinted by what the Father does. If you go to the scriptures, a second observation, you can go to look at the Apostle Paul. You can look at the scriptures in Peter, and repeatedly other writers will say, follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. So it's a repeated theme throughout the New Testament. And so we today, we are the generation that we want to be imitators of Christ because we want our children, the next generation, to understand what it means to live a godly life. And you know what? A lot of it they're going to find out by emulating what their parents do and what their parents do not do. So in our time together, I just wanted to focus on four areas that you and I are called to imitate who Christ is. The first area that we want to imitate, first of all, I want to ask this question. Has anyone's mouth ever gotten them in trouble? Anybody here whose mouth gotten you in trouble? Come on, there needs to be more hands than that. Come on, if you're not, you're not telling the truth. Okay, all of us. Thank you for your honesty, I appreciate that. So we all have said things in a moment or an experience that if we could take it back, we would. Our mouth has gotten us in trouble. So you're in good company. So when we think about speech, if you do a study of the Word of God, there are at least over 120 different scripture passages. And many of those passages are cautions to us about using our words wisely, because some of us suffer from what I call mouth disease. You ever anybody have mouth disease? Okay. Again, well, thank you. Some more honest. But the good news is we can get fixed. We don't have to say all that stuff. So I'm just admitting that we're all in the common boat together here. So on the screen, and I think we can read it together, the next screen. Okay, let's read this together. It's also in your sermon listening guide, I believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto thy. So there's two words in there, if you look at that verse, and you can circle them, and they're underlined. One is your mouth, and the other is your heart, and they go together. So here's the screenshot. There is a connection between our mouth and our heart. So what is in our heart is going to come out in the words that we say. Sometimes there are wonderful words, there are words of blessing and the words of encouragement, and then there are other times when our heart is bitter and we're angry. Those words also come out and they begin to affect all of those people who are around us. So the scripture is very clear on this point, is that the words that we say impact others, right? Husbands and wives, whatever you say to your spouse, whether it's good or bad, it impacts them. You can encourage them. You can cut them down. They are just like that. You can do the same with your children. The words that you say impacts your children. How about when you go to work? You know, you have your boss, and you hear things, and you say things. You're out in the community. And the point is, you know, God gives us a choice. We get to choose the words that we decide to speak to others. We can either build them up, or we actually sometimes tear them down and we don't even really intend to do that. There's two examples from the Word of God that speaks to the words that come out of our mouth. They are, I believe, also in your sermon listening guide. Let's read them together. The first one, let's read together. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongues of the wise bring healing. Is that true? You know, we have to be careful of the words. They either pierce like a sword or they can bring healing. Now, you don't have this one in your notes, I don't believe. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. And Isaiah, who was coming into the presence of the holy God, so it's a holy moment, right? And the first thing out of Isaiah's mouth is, woe is me. Like, you know that, like, wow, I'm not worthy to be in the presence of this holy God. He said, for I am undone and I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. And then he goes on to say, and then I dwell in the midst of a people who also have unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the host. Right? So when we're in the presence of Jesus, we need to make sure that what we say would edify him as well. You know, when we follow the Lord's leading and our speech is good, I would like to say your words become a kind of ministry to others. You actually can minister to others by the words that you say. So we know that in our speech, learning to use our tongues as God desires, it's a process. It's something that comes from the inside out because it comes from the heart, and it also takes a lot of patience. There's three quotes that I want to bring up and show you. I love this one. This one says, speak only when you feel that your words are better than your silence. You're silent. So it's sometimes all we need to do is just not say anything, right? And now the next quote here. I love this from Joyce Meyer. She says, I have a lot more trouble with what comes out of my mouth than what goes in it. Right? We know what that means. You know, like, you know, I don't have any problem eating, but it's what comes out of my mouth. That's really not always really good. And then the next slide. I'm going to have to read this one up here. Before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. I love this. Is it true? Is it necessary? And lastly, is it kind? So if we were to filter our words and always be able to ask ourselves before we speak, do I meet these three criteria? If not, maybe we should think about not saying those kinds of things. So maybe you can relate to some of this. So anyway, our speech, number one, is one of the primary ways that we are to imitate the person of Christ. And it takes a lot of effort, and it's something that we all work on. The second way that we can imitate Christ is through our actions. And again, the Bible has a lot to say about the actions that you and I engage in. In your sermon listening guide, there's 1 John 3:18. Let's read that together. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with the actions in truth. What we say oftentimes becomes an act that we carry out. It's true, and you've heard it, that your actions will speak much louder than any words that we say. And so it's important that we do that. So there's a screen up here, which is I like. When others see the harmony between what we say and what we do, then they are drawn to the authenticity of our faith. It's not so much what we say. It's going to be what we do. And when we get what we say in alignment with what we do, people look at us and say, that's a really good person. It's the authenticity of our faith with where our words and actions merge up together. In fact, in the New Testament, there's a scripture verse from John. And the word of the Lord says, if someone has enough money to live well, and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love one another, but let us show by the truth of our actions. And so we get the opportunity to not just say that we believe in God and that we are concerned for the poor, we need to be able to be doing that so that what we say aligns with our actions as well. In your sermon listening guide, there's a little fill in the blank, and that is to know that your actions have consequences. Also in the book of Hosea before that, there's a where Hosea says we sow to the whirlwind. Did you know that we sow seeds by the actions that we do? We're actually seed sowers in the actions that we do. So your seeds will determine the harvest. And then if you desire a good harvest, you've got to sow good seed. And we want to be good, we want to be good seed sowers. So again, there's the screen. Your actions are seeds that you're sowing. And the seeds that you sow will determine the harvest that you get. So in these things of consequences, consequences of our actions are both positive and negative. The Bible is very clear about that. Some of us have participated in actions in the past that we just wish we hadn't have done. And sometimes we live with our consequences. Now, the good news is God's grace is there. He'll forgive us. We need to learn from it, and we need to move on. This is not a downer. But we also have to admit that sometimes our actions have not always been in a godly way here. So that's why we need to be imitators in our life to Christ. We need to monitor our actions. We need to imitate what Christ has done. So we not only imitate Christ in our speech, we imitate Christ in our actions. And then in number three, we imitate Christ by listening. Now, this is going to be an interesting journey right here. On your sermon listening guide, what I've said to you right up front is listening is the foundation to understanding. Let me say that again. Listening is the foundation to understanding. I want us to read our sermon from our sermon listening guide, Proverbs verse 18, verses 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. I don't know about you, but I could be a better listener, right? And it's an art that we have to learn. We need to be better listeners to our spouses. We need to be better listeners to our coworkers. We need to be better listeners to your children. You know, children really have feelings, and we need to listen to those. And so wherever we go, we want to be people who are authentically listening to what God would say. So why aren't we better listeners? I'm going to put a number 41, I think. You've got it up there. Listening is a spiritual discipline that takes effort and a whole lot of patience. Listening is one of the most difficult things that Christ asks us to do in our example. Listening, or the art of listening, if you're following your sermon listening guide, it's a ministering gift. It is a ministering gift that you get to give others. All you have to do is listen, right? I want to put this screenshot on the next one up on the slide here. I think is there one before that? Here we go, I like this. Listen with your mouth closed and your heart open. Isn't it true? Listen with your mouth closed and your heart open. Now let's go to the next one, Tammy. Appreciate that. I love this. God is speaking all the time. But how many of us are not listening because it doesn't sound the way that we want it to? Do you get what it's saying? Let me read it again. God is speaking all of the time, but how many of us are not listening because it doesn't sound the way that we want it to? Now, what that really is saying is God's talking, but if we don't want to receive it, we tune God out. Because either it's something we don't want to hear, because we don't want to change, and God is saying, but I'm trying to knock, I'm trying to get through, I'm trying to get you to listen to me. And some of us, we've learned through the life of Hard Knocks that we've got to sometimes do a little bit better job of listening. When you listen to somebody, I just want to be clear here, it doesn't mean that you're embracing everything they say. Like, I hear a lot of stuff. And I don't necessarily agree with the stuff that I just was told. But I'm still going to listen. And because the other reason I need to listen is because every person in here, when they speak to you, you're only seeing what's on the surface. So if they spoke to you and they spoke to me in a way that I don't think was healthy, I'm going to extend grace. Because they may be facing something that I don't know about. It could be a health crisis. Maybe they've just said some angry words to their spouse. You know, it doesn't matter. But we just need to emulate what Christ says, that we need to be imitators of listen. So even if their views are different, even if it's politically not what you think, and that we're coming into a real big political season. By the way, just a heads up, I don't talk politics. I'll listen to you, but I will not do that because my focus is on the mission of Jesus. And that's the one that I want to keep people's focus on. So let me tell you this. Your grandmother was right. When your grandmother cautioned you that God gave you two ears and only one mouth, so that means you should what? You should listen twice as much as you speak. And that is a quote worthy that goes to the generations, right? And we've all heard that. So too often, so let me just kind of be really, really honest. Because too often we aren't patient listeners because we aren't truly interested in what the other person's saying. Ever been in that conversation? They're like, blah, 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 blah. Will they ever stop? And so sometimes we don't listen is because, you know what, we're just not interested in what they have to say. Or we've already decided that what they're going to say is right or wrong, and we've already prejudged it, so we just tune them out. And I've done that. Anybody done that? So we have to say, Lord, no, I need to hear the heart of this person. And even if I don't agree with that person, I'm going to give them the courtesy of listening. And if I don't understand, particularly if they say something against me, you know what I'm going to say is, can you tell me more? Help me to understand why you're feeling this way. And so often we don't do that. What do? We attack. It's like, well, just move on. So anyway, when we're not listening, it's really a heart problem. It's really a heart problem. And so I'm learning to be a better listener. I want to be a better listener because I want to be fully authentic with the person who's trying to get my attention. So let's look at the fourth way that we are to be imitators of Christ, and we want to imitate Christ through our thinking. Let's read Proverbs 23, verse 7 in your notes. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And let's go ahead and read Romans 12, 2 right below it. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn about listening. I have a lot to learn about thinking. Number 46, the slide, I like this. You and I become what we think about. True? We become what we think about. You know, Jesus challenged his disciples over and over again to change their thinking. If you read the Bible, it's always about we've got to change the way that we think about things and not in the selfish way. So often when we think about things, we're imposing our own bias, we're imposing labels, but the more we think about something, the more we become. If you think about good stuff, you're going to get some good results. Sometimes we end up going down rabbit trails and we're thinking about things that we know we shouldn't and God wouldn't be happy with, and we allow ourselves to do that, and we're going to end up with negative consequences. So the reality is we become what it is that we think about. So what we think about matters a lot. So I want to give you this in your sermon listening guide. I love this. Changing the way you think, it's on the screen as well. I love this. Changing the way you think changes your perspective, which in turn changes how you will act in the world. You see how it ricochets? Changing the way we begin to think in our mind It will change then our perspective in life, good or bad, let me say good or bad, which then can change the way that you respond and you act in the world around you. So again, Jesus would say, let's imitate him in the way that we should think. So here's a news flash. You never see those things, breaking news that comes up on your TV, right? So here's breaking news. God cares about your thought life. God cares about your thought life. What is your thinking? In fact, in Colossians in chapter 3, Paul says that we are to set our minds on what? Things above and not on things of the earth. So how do I imitate godly thoughts? I want to read this quote from Joyce Meyer. I don't think it's in your notes. It's one of her famous quotes. She has said, I've discovered that wrong thinking or stinking thinking is the root cause of most of our problems. Now listen to this. Right thinking can enable you, and wrong thinking can disable you. So sometimes we have some stinking thinking that we've allowed to get into our thought process. And if it's right thinking, it enables us to do good things. And if it's wrong thinking, it can actually paralyze us. I love that quote. I want us to read in our sermon listening guide this verse, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be a grievous way in me, and lead me into everlasting. Yeah. There's a challenge for you. People say, I don't know what to pray. Well, maybe pray this one. Although be careful, this is a dangerous prayer, right? If you say to God, search me, God, and I want you to tell me what you see in my heart, I'm going to tell you up front, it's not always pretty, right? There's good things he's going to tell you, but if you say, God, help me to know if my thinking is good, right? Try me, and it says, and know my thoughts, right? And see if there be any stinking thinking in me. That's what he's really saying. And then lead me into a better way. So we want to invite God into our thought process and to begin to think the things that enable us versus the things that disable us. Also in 2 Corinthians, there's a verse in chapter 10, verse 5. Let me read this for you. Paul says, we break down every thought. We break down every proud thing that puts itself up against the wisdom of God. And we take hold of every thought and make it obey Christ. It's a beautiful verse, right? So we have to pray that prayer as Paul. First of all, when we have a thought that comes into our mind, our stinking thinking, that we know it's not godly, we have to rebuke that. Say, Lord, there's no place in my mind for this. Forgive me. Help me to get on a better path. And I love that the apostle says, so we have to aggressively take hold of every thought. We have a choice that every time we think something, is it a godly thought? Is it going to enable me to live a good life, or is it going to lead me and take me into another direction? So as we begin to wrap up, actually, there's a screen I want to put up there, Tammy, I believe. This is Albert Einstein, right? He's one of the brilliant people, and I don't know his Christian faith. I have no idea. But I love what he said. I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are mere details, right? And this is a brilliant man. So, you know, he understood somehow that what he really wanted to know is what God thinks, and the rest are all mere details. I love that. So as we imitate Christ, we want to imitate him in what? Our speech. We want to imitate Christ in our actions. We want to imitate Christ in our listening. And we want to be imitating Christ in our thinking. So I'm the first to confess that I'm a work in progress, that I have not accomplished all of these. By the grace of God, I am better than I was 15 years ago, and I hope you are. So all of us have a road ahead of us. So this is not a guilty message. This is a message that says, Jack, you need to realign your thinking. You need to realign your speech. You need to realign your actions. You need to be better at listening so that I can better imitate what I believe Jesus would want. So I have two questions for you as we begin to wrap up the service here. Question number one, who or what am I imitating? Who or what are you imitating? Who or what am I imitating? And then the second part of that question is, what or who I'm imitating, is it leading me to be a good spiritual person and good health, or is it pulling me in another direction? So that's really the ultimate question. Whatever I'm imitating, is it moving me towards Christ? Is it moving me in a better relationship spiritually and healthy-wise? Or is it taking me someplace I don't want to be? Question number two, I like this one. This is for me too. It's much easier. I want you to rate yourself internally on each of these four areas. So quickly in your mind, on one to ten, rate yourself. Say, how is my speech in terms of imitating Christ? You can just quickly get an instant answer in your mind. The second area is, Lord, do my actions imitate you? Kind of rate that. Scale 1 to 10. How about your listening? If you were to rate yourself, say, does my listening reflect what I think Jesus would want it to be? And then the big T. How's my thinking? Is it taking me more towards Christ, or is it taking me away? And so rate yourself on those. I did that myself as well. So the concluding thought, if you've not noticed, and it's also, I believe, in your sermon listening guide, if you're filling in those blanks, S is for speech, A is for actions, L is for listening, and T is for thinking. And when I was doing this, I'm thinking, oh, that spells salt. And Jesus had something to say about salt as well, didn't he, in the Bible? So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, actually in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus said two things to those who were listening. First of all, he reminded those, and he reminds us, that you are the salt of the earth. And what that means is we are to be people who add flavor to other people's lives. Why do people salt things? Right? Because they want a little more flavor. And so metaphorically speaking, we are to be the salt in those that we are around, that we add flavor to them. And then he followed that by not only saying you're the salt of the earth, the second thing he said to them, that you are also the light of the world. Do you know that? You're the light of the world this morning. You are the light to somebody else. It may be at work. It might be in your home. It might be in this church. But you are the light of the world. The only way we can do any of this, folks, is if we become imitators of Christ. So I'm on the journey. I hope you're on the journey with me. I'm far from getting there, but I want to continually make sure that what's going through my mind, what's coming out of my mouth, what I'm doing is that I'm imitating what I've seen Jesus do. Remember where we started? Jesus says, I only do what I've seen my Father doing. And so we only want to do what we have seen Christ doing as well, because we are his disciples. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you as we come to the close of this service. And I thank you that you've challenged my own thinking about how effectively am I at imitating who you are. And as we come to this time of communion, Lord, I just lay before you those areas that I need to do better in. And so I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would also, within each of our minds, begin to show us the areas that you want us to be more like Jesus. We want to be good disciples. We want to be the salt in this community, and we want to be the light of the world to those around us. And so, Lord, we're just confessing our need to continue to imitate, continue to do what we've seen you do in the scriptures, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.